They say it's in your blood, a game that can't be won, only played. A love affair. It satisfies the soul and frustrates the intellect. The greatest game ever played, golf. It's real. And this is Real Golf Radio with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper, son of legendary golfer Billy Casper, talking golf with you for more than two decades. And now, here's Brian and Bob.
Yeah, thank you very much, and welcome into Real Golf Radio, hour number one of the show, Players' Championship Edition. And in fact, it's not just the Players' Championship, it's the golden edition of the Players' Championship. And you heard Bob talking about the golden bear himself, Jack Nicklaus, being there to welcome players to the golf course and to the championship. And pretty cool stuff. 50th playing of the Players. 42nd year, Bob, that TPC Sawgrass with its famous Island Green 17th has hosted. And world number one, Scottie Scheffler, definitely a story this week, fresh off of his win at the Arnold Palmer last week. He's the defending champ and looks to become the first to go back-to-back at the Players. He's got some work to do at the halfway point. Certainly, Wyndham Clark, who played well last week at Bay Hill where Scottie won, and it kind of is on the uptick, is man, 65-65. What a start. Scoring conditions were ideal the first couple of days, and for the players that were dialed in, they were able to take advantage of it.
Yeah, there was a lot of birdies to be made, especially in the first round. Rory McIlroy made 10 birdies in the first round and only shot 65 with two balls in the water, one that cost him a bogey and the other one that cost him a double bogey. But, you know, guys are able to make a lot of birdies on this golf course, especially with the greens being as soft as they are right now. And, you know, as we talked about 17 is the one, you know, now there's been 1,000 golf balls that have been hit in the water at 17 since 2003. And after the first round there had been 999. And then on Friday, it became over 1,000.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, coming up later on in the show, we're going to welcome in Jeff Babineau from Orlando to talk about the Players, talk about last week. He was there covering Scottie Scheffler's win at Bay Hill. Also in hour number two, America's favorite caddy stops by. The other thing that's really interesting about this week is, of course, you hear from the Commissioner Jay Monahan, and so much is going on in the game of golf today. So many stories have already been written and talked about this week around that the professional game is broken, that there are challenges. How is the PGA going to respond to what Liv is doing and the threat of other players leaving and bringing SSG on and all of those things? We're going to get into that coming up next. Stay tuned. It's a Players edition of Real Golf Radio.
Now, back to Real Golf Radio with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper.
Welcome back to the show. It's a Players Championship edition, and it's brought to you in part by Black Desert Resort in St. George, Utah. Check out blackdesertresort.com for all the details about the Tom Weiskopf Championship Design Golf Course, the exclusive real estate opportunities that are available, and how you can be a part of it. It's also a link to blackdesertevents.com where you can find out more about the upcoming PGA Tour event coming up October 10th through the 13th at Black Desert. And don't forget the LPGA Tour will be returning to the state of Utah for the first time in 60 years. As is the PGA Tour coming up in May of 2025. So a lot of things are happening at Black Desert. Bob, the question that I get asked the most is, hey, have you played it? Because they see me wearing my Black Desert hat. And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, hey, when's it go private? Well, let me tell you. Tell your friends it's not going private. Here's the deal. It's always going to be a resort daily fee golf course. But much like other popular resort courses in the country, if you're not staying at the resort or you don't own property in the resort, it's going to be very difficult to get a tee time. So if you're concerned about access, but you don't want to pay an expensive membership, you can buy some real estate or you can book your stay at Black Desert Resort. Go to blackdesertresort.com for more of the details. But the real opportunity is getting in on that real estate while you can. It's so many good things happening. And resort is really coming along. If you haven't seen it or played it, take advantage of that opportunity right now. Again, thanks for joining us, Brian Taylor, Bob Casper, Players Championship edition of the show. And so much to talk about, so much focus on the players actually competing in the event this week. And I guess maybe this is where I'll start, Bob, if I can go ahead and dial up the right quote here. I think it's important to Scottie Scheffler, world number one. You know, he's coming off of a win last week, and he gets asked in his press conference, what about Liv? What about the other players? What about the guys that aren't here? What about the splintering of the fans? And I just thought that this answer was really good. Here's what Scotty had to say.
I guess it's a pretty broad question. And when you're talking about a fan perspective, you're talking about millions of people. And so there's always a lot of perspectives in that group. It just depends on who has the loudest voice. And I mean, at the end of the day, I think we're trying to do our best to create the best product for the fans, but we can't control whether or not guys want to leave. If guys want to go take the money and leave, then that's their decision. You know, I'm not going to sit here and tell guys not to take hundreds of millions of dollars. If that's what they think is best for their life, then go do it. I'm not going to sit here and force guys to stay on our tour. But at the end of the day, this is where I want to be. And, you know, we're continuing to grow what we're doing, and what they're doing is not really a concern to me. And if the fans are upset, then look at the guys that left. You know, we had a tour, we were all together, and the people that left are no longer here. And at the end of the day, that's where the splintering comes from.
It's hard to argue with him. He's right, of course, and yet,
100%.
The fans continue to kind of take the brunt of it all, because obviously absent this week at the Players' Championship is the, you know, reigning Masters and PGA champion, right? So, yeah. I mean, it obviously gets brought up, and that's how Scotty responded. Hey, look, I don't think about them. I got my own thing. I don't blame them. They can do whatever they want, but we got a tour. We got a lot of great guys here. And by the way, we were all part of this at one point in time. So if you want to point the fingers or get upset about the splintering, look at the guys that have left. What was your take on Scotty's opinion?
I think it's 100% right, spot on. You know, decisions have ramifications. They decided that they were going to do that. And because they went to Live, they, you know, then you lose out on the benefits. You can't cherry pick both and play back and forth on both and everything, especially when it comes to the PGA Tour. The guys that stayed with the PGA Tour did so because of the tradition and their brand and what they wanted to do in the game of golf as the standard for the game of golf, and the other guys left. So don't blame the guys that are on the PGA Tour. It's the guys that left that have caused the splinter, or Greg Norman as the commissioner of LIV Golf. But Scotty, it amazes me. Scotty is the number one player in the world. And since he started winning just a few short years ago, when he won the Masters, he is very forthcoming in his answers. Mm. And I think that's the new part of the younger players in the game. You know, Tiger for so long, you get the pat answers every time, you know, some of those older school guys. But I'll tell you what, the young guys, they really tell you what they're feeling, and they're very eloquent in how they do it.
I like this one too, and we're going to get into more of this. We're going to get into Jay Monahan as well. But Scotty was kind of asked how he sort of maintains perspective coming off the win and being number one and all the attention that he gets. This one's pretty cool right here.
I try not to get too into what, you know, we do out here. I think, you know, I attribute mostly to my faith, but I also have, you know, a great upbringing. I have great parents. You know, I have a great wife. We have great friends at home. And so I'm surrounded by a lot of people that really don't care very much whether or not I won last week. You know, it's great. We're going to celebrate. But at the end of the day, you know, if I shot 75 on Sunday, I think, you know, Monday would have looked pretty similar to how it looked this week, you know, besides maybe a few extra text messages in my phone that I received. But at the end of the day, you know, life goes on a lot more than just my golf score. And, you know, this is just one little phase of my life, and it just happens to be in front of an audience. But outside of that, you know, home's a lot more important to me than out here.
I mean, I love that perspective. I don't know what else, and I feel like if that was the perspective that the players had, then let the money be what it is, right? I mean, we always talked about the money. We marveled at the money. But no one wants to talk about the money when it's getting shoved down your throat, right? Like, I'm leaving for the money. Well, why isn't the PGA Tour paying this guy more money? Hey, that's my favorite player, and he just left because the PGA Tours are bad guys, and they're not paying him enough money, and these good guys over here are paying him enough money. Hey, I hate this product because they're splintered, and they're not all together, and yah, bah, bah, right? It just continues to go on. And look, I'm not blaming the fans for having that opinion or perspective. It's the consequences of all the stuff that's gone on, but it's this focus, this constant focus on money and more money and what this player's worth and that player and who might leave and who, you know, it is a bit of a turnoff. And we start to see these stories about how pro golf is broken somewhat, right? And I guess we're gonna hear from Monahan and what he thinks about this coming up in the next segment, but for now, I think if it's the focus, when I look back at Tiger, I don't remember him ever focusing on money. He never talked about money. All he talked about was championships. And so you followed his pursuit of championships and greatness. And guess what? Along the way, he made a whole lot of money.
Yeah. His biggest comment was, you know, the money will take care of itself. Everything else takes care of itself. Number one in the world, everything takes care of itself when you're winning golf tournaments. Okay, Ryder Cup, world ranking, everything takes care of itself when you win golf tournaments, and the money will take care of itself. Tiger Woods, in sport, in golf, is a billionaire, period. Okay, he's won 82 times, 83 times on the PGA Tour. He's won 14 major championships.
15.
Winning takes care of everything. Takes care of everything. And that's what he's always said. So that's what these guys need to focus on now. Yeah, there's a lot of money in the game right now. But guess what? If you don't win, you can't keep your status and make your mark in history of playing this game.
There's absolutely no way Tiger Woods, this was Tiger 2000, he goes to live in this scenario. There's absolutely no way. Because who was he chasing? He was chasing Nicholas.
Yep.
He wasn't chasing the dollar. He was chasing Nicholas. And the only way you can chase down Nicholas is to follow the bear tracks. And the bear tracks are all over the PGA Tour, right? And he's the first one to win the Players' Championship. You don't think that was important for Tiger to win the Players' Championship? He won 6 green jackets. You think it was important for Tiger to win the green jacket? He's got 5, right? So, I mean, that's what Tiger was after. That's what he's chasing. And that's what's yet attainable. Tiger doesn't need money. Tiger needs 3 more major championships for him to consider himself a successful finished. Now I know he considers himself successful, but you know, mission accomplished, if you will.
Yeah. One more win also gives him the all-time wins on the PGA Tour. He's tied right now with Sam Snead, but yeah, that's all he needs to do. And if he can do it, but still Tiger is and has cemented his place in the history of the game because he wins championships.
Yeah. Hey, when we come back, we're going to hear from a couple other press conferences, including Jay Monahan, the commissioner, and what Xander Schauffele had to say about the leader of the PGA Tour and his thoughts on whether he's the guy going forward. Stay tuned. We'll get into all that next. It's a Players Championship edition of Real Golf Radio.
You're listening to Real Golf Radio. Talking golf with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper.
One day you'll get it.
Here's Brian and Bob.
Welcome back to a Players Championship edition of Real Golf Radio. Brian Taylor, Bob Casper, and Scottie Scheffler on the 17th.
It's pretty wild when you get here in person. Sometimes when you're standing there in the practice round, you're like, how could people ever miss this green? And then you get up there and you start standing over your shot and you're like, man, wait a minute, like the wind's blowing off the right, like it's kind of firm now. And it's a lot harder in competition than it is in practice, but it's always really special. You know, you grew up watching this golf tournament, and to be here playing is always a special treat.
It's the Golden Edition 50th anniversary, and you heard what he said. They're growing up watching this. It's a treat to play, all of that kind of thing. That's the history and the legacy that the PGA Tour has created with the Players Championship. So call it a major or not, it definitely has its place with the players that are competing, and people want to be a part of this. And you know, I have a hard time thinking that John Rahm and some of those other players are wishing they were playing this week, huh?
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, Rahm even said earlier in the year that he missed playing at San Diego. He also missed playing in Palm Springs, and he missed playing at Pebble Beach and a bunch of those courses where he's had success before. So, yeah, it's kind of tough to make that choice. And you know what? By all means, you can make that choice. But to be sitting on the outside looking in and not having a chance to play the marquee event for the PGA Tour, even though you still have the opportunity to play in the majors.
We did have a hole in one on 17 this week.
Yeah,
Ryan Fox with the hole in one, and I believe it was they had 3 last year and 1 this year.
First round, yeah.
So yeah. This was his first career hole in one on the PGA Tour, and I love when they throw these stats out here, Bob. 472nd par 3 played in stroke play events. So he's played 472 par threes as a member, as a professional on the PGA Tour, and he got a hole in one. So all I wanted to do is give a little perspective here. So if you're out there and like, man, I've never made a hole in one, or I've only made 1 hole in one. How many holes in par threes do you think you've played? And how would you rate your skill level relative to Ryan Fox on the PGA Tour? And then consider that he did it on his 472nd attempt at a par three. So, you know, if you play an average of 25, 30, 40 rounds a year, and you got, call it four par threes every single round, I mean, you start to do the math there, and then take your skill level, which is what? 100 times less than a guy like Ryan Fox, maybe 1,000 times less. Start doing the math, and then you know when you get a hole in one, it's something special, right?
Yeah, you know what's really cool about what he was able to do, though, is, you know, the Golf Channel said, now here's Ryan Fox on the 16th hole, and he hits a beautiful iron shot into the 16th hole, which is the par five, hits it about 3 feet from the hole, and he goes on to make an eagle. And then they go, and here's Ryan Fox on the 17th hole, and he hits the shot a little bit long, and it backs up, and it comes down the hill, and it goes in the hole. So he shot on those two holes a total of four strokes. He had an eagle and an eagle, which has never been done before there, eagle hole one, and his total aggregate as far as proximity of the hole was only 3 feet. It was amazing to see that he was able to do that.
Well, yeah, you go four under through two holes. That's unique. That's something special going on right there, especially when you do it. And he's the first player to ever go back-to-back eagles anywhere on the golf course there at the Players Championship at TPC Sawgrass. So yeah, obviously that was something pretty unique, and he'll have some, do they give out crystal for that kind of thing?
I don't know. They'll give out something for there.
I know
at Augusta, we know they give crystal for eagles.
Yeah.
And low rounds and that kind of thing. So I'm sure there will be something that goes along with that.
I know he sent a beer cart into the press room for buying drinks for the press after making that hole in one. So he did that. He pulled off that anyway. So you know what? The one hole in one that I had, Bob, same kind of a shot. Obviously completely different circumstances, not over water on an island green or anything, but hit just short of the hole, bounced past the hole, and then zipped it right back into the jar. I always figured if I was going to make a hole in one, it was going to be some sort of like blade shot off the rake, hits the flag halfway up, drops down, you know, just kind of get lucky. But that one was one. It was kind of cool. Like you could see the whole thing and, you know, spun it back in kind of in style. It was fun. And that's been like 7 years ago.
Yeah.
And it just is. I have guys, I'm sure you do too, guys that you play with or know that have had 6, 7, 8 holes in one.
Yep.
And they're like 8 handicappers. And that's okay. That's why the USGA doesn't take away your amateur status if you make a hole in one and win $1 million, because there's an element of luck involved.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
That's right.
All right, back to the players. One of the things that was really interesting for me was to hear what Jay Monahan had to say. And my initial thoughts listening to the commissioner, who talked for an hour on Tuesday, was he did spend quite a bit of time talking about focus on the fan and the fan experience and what the fans had to deal with through this whole ordeal. He was asked a lot of questions about the continued negotiations with the Public Investment Fund. He was asked a lot about what about bringing Live players, former PGA Tour players that left to go to Live, bringing them back, and what does that look like? And in a short summary of all of that, there were a lot of words. I was impressed at his ability to give a long answer without actually saying anything. Like, I was like, Jay Monahan should just like run for office, because the guy can talk. He's not telling me anything, right? Yeah, and this, look, I don't mean to knock on him. I know there's a lot of things with an ongoing, you know, negotiations and things along those lines, but I basically, what I heard was a lot of talk and not a lot of answers, if you will. And that was kind of frustrating.
Yep, I agree with you. You know, and what's he going to say? He's not going to say a lot about the negotiations with PIF or anything like that. These are billion-dollar deals. And so that's kind of a little above our pay grades. And it's kind of interesting that now you have other people in there with the other deal that the PGA Tour did that are used to billion-dollar deals. Yeah. So maybe part of that was the reason to have them involved as well, because those guys understand how to negotiate and what's happening and what could happen in those multi-billion-dollar deals that are out there in the game of golf.
Well, and he was asked point blank if he thinks he's the guy to lead the PGA Tour through all this, and he basically said he does in his heart of hearts and whatever. It was a bit of an emotional play, like, I believe in myself, but... So to me, I don't know that there's a lot of backing to what he said. Now, I did pull the one cut where he sort of like brought it all home, if you will. Like he spent some time kind of recapping and even said, let's go back in time. This is what Jay Monahan, to me, if you were to cut down the whole hour to this, this is maybe the best answer he gave in all of that talk.
You know, if you go back in time, and I think it's important to make this point, you know, if you think about what fans have been saying to us and what you questions that I go back, I think through my head over the various interactions I've had with the media, your season is too long. It never ends. Why are you competing in the FedEx Cup playoffs up against the start of college football and the NFL? Why do you have such a confusing format at the Tour Championship? Why are you not doing more to dimensionalize your players and your stars? Why are you not showing more golf shots? And, you know, you think about where we are now with the move that we've made to play here in March, PGA Championship in May, 3 FedEx Cup playoff events. That's made it even more competitive out here. The fall itself, where players are now playing for their cards and playing for positioning, that's made that even more, the fall even more competitive and consequential. Again, it's early days. But if you then look at Netflix, and it's important for everyone to realize that when we pursued the conversations with Netflix in 2019, the PGA Tour took the lead with the major championships to convince us as an industry to move forward to do this, because we recognized that this was a great way to showcase our athletes. Obviously, the pandemic, caused a little bit of a lag there, but, you know, that element to what we're doing, coupled with the investment that we're making in Pro Shop, the fact that when PASPA was repealed in 2018, we were at the forefront moving forward to thoughtfully introduce gaming into our sport. So the building that we're building out here and what flexibility that provides to storytell and showcase our stars, to looking at the DP World Tour Alliance, to now having transitioning our business to not only a C6, but a for-profit entity that allows us to invest back into our product, into our fan. I'm not, you know, it's a really long way of saying that we are going to continue to do all the things that we need to do to grow and expand our fan base. And we've done that in the absence of that capital. We now have that capital and a determination to create real value for this organization as a for-profit company. I think that's a positive thing for fans.
There you go. It's a big, big, long answer. Thanks for kind of going through. But I think it's important to hear what he had to say, because one of the big questions is, what is the need for all of this? And he kind of explained the thing. So if I took an hour and boiled it down to the most I took out of it, it's that one answer.
Yeah, it's a great answer. And it just kind of lays it out step by step by step. But yet it still doesn't, like you said, it still doesn't give us the total answers of what us as the fans are worried about and what us as the media are worried about with the fracturing of the game and trying to bring it back together and that type of thing.
Yeah, we have to wait for more of those answers that are surely going to come. Hey, when we come back, Jeff Babineau, a veteran golf journalist coming off of covering Scottie Scheffler's win at Bay Hill last week. He joins us next right here on Real Golf Radio.
Now, back to Real Golf Radio with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper.
Thanks again for joining us here on our Players Championship edition of Real Golf Radio. Really excited to welcome in our next guest. He's a Floridian himself, but he stays down more in the central southern part of the state. He doesn't get all the way up to Jacksonville. Oh, that's not true. He's been there plenty of times. Jeff Babineau joining us right now. Babs, what's up, man?
Hey, I'm not allowed up in those counties, so I got to stay down here in Orlando land.
We don't need to know the details of that. It's okay.
Good.
Hey, Bay Hill last week. What a show. You were there covering it for the PGA Tour. Scottie Scheffler and his putting has been such a topic of conversation this year. A ball-striking machine like we haven't seen since Tiger 2000, and it looks like Scottie seemed to figure something out last week, and it was a runaway.
Yeah, I mean, he showed how dangerous it can be when he gets that putter going, and you know, he just made a few small adjustments, went to a mallet-style head, added a half inch to the putter, just looked a little more relaxed over putts, and he was pouring them in, had a lot of confidence. And I mean, on Sunday, it looked like a great shootout set up for Sunday, and he just walked out there and ran away with it.
So, Jeff, you've been around golf for a long time. You've covered golf for a long time. Do you like it better when there's parity in the game and there's more guys that are playing for championships and majors and that kind of thing? Or do you like it when there's kind of a one dominant type of figure in the game?
Yeah, I'm probably more of a fan when there's a mix, honestly. I mean, in my job, I'm writing and trying to find stories. And one theme I've seen with the signature events, you know, you have the same pool of players. I mean, honestly, to go out to Bay Hill last week, yeah, you had a great field. That's great. You know, people want to see the great guys together. But the fact that there were 69 players there and not 120, just means there's fewer stories to find, right? I mean, I looked around that field, there weren't a whole lot of guys I didn't know a whole lot about. And I like going out there to find guys. I remember watching a young kid named Aaron Baddeley play at Bay Hill for the first time. And I even saw Tiger play there when he was a 16-year-old amateur. And you're always out there to find the new stories and talk to these guys, learn about them. And the one thing with signature events do, I mean, we get more and more of the great players together, which is fine, but we get a lot of the same stories. So that's something we're kind of wrestling with a little bit.
And it's interesting. Bob jumped right into it there, I guess, and something that we've been talking about. Rory, you know, his comments last week about wanting a more cutthroat type of tour with fewer tour cards, he doubled down a little bit on that this week, or I should say added some clarity to it this week by saying he's all for giving the young guys more opportunities, but wanted to be able to showcase. So having the kind of the attrition that takes place, but also having the guys, you know, the best players at the top. Here's my thing about this, you know, and obviously it's at the heart of this LIV PGA Tour discussion. Is, you know, this idea that you want the best players and signature events, live, whatever it happens to be, that it's just those best players playing all the time. And my thought is here we are watching Wyndham Clark this week and what he's doing. No one even knew who Wyndham Clark was last year, right? And so he's turned into a great story. How do we get to know the next Scottie Schefflers, the next Wyndham Clarks, the next Jordan Spieth if we don't have these guys, a stage for these guys to be able to go up and prove themselves and develop their star power by showcasing their talents against the today's best? Because today's best aren't necessarily tomorrow's best. So that's where I think it's this idea of signature, live, whatever it happens to be, it's a snapshot in time. It's static. It's not sort of a living, breathing thing. And that's what I've always appreciated about the PGA Tour.
And it's golf. You know, you're not always the 1985 Bears out there winning every week, right? It's golf. We get a lot of different stories. We love the underdog story. I mean, what's further than watching John Daly waving his fist going up and down the fairways at Crooked Stick, right? Nobody in the world knew who that guy was. I didn't know who Xander Schauffele was, and he hadn't met probably half the field at the Tour Championship a few years ago when he stepped up and won there. And no one really knew anything about Xander Schauffele. He wasn't like a big hotshot college kid and things like that. So golf has those stories, you know. Guys emerge and they find things late sometimes. You know, you look at, I'm looking just on this leaderboard this week. You see Wyndham Clark and you see Brian Harman. And these guys have been around a while, but they're completely different players than they were a year ago. You know, just confidence-wise and you know, what they've done, winning some big events. Wyndham Clark last year going into the Players was like 109th in the world. And last week he was talking about he was in favor of smaller fields. Right. I'm like, he's never seen these events, you know?
I thought the same thing, Babs.
You know, yeah. You've got to have opportunity. If you want to get stories out there, you want to learn some new guys, and and give some chances to meet the next Ludwig Aberg, who a year ago was in a classroom at Texas Tech. You got to have opportunity.
Hey, real quick, because I want you to clarify, but I just got to call Babs out. He used the reference 85 Bears. How did he not use the Tom Brady, Patriots? Maybe because it happened year after year after year after year. Maybe that's why.
We didn't win our last game.
Oh, okay.
I erased that 18-0 season from my member bank. We didn't win the last one.
Okay. All right. I was just wondering. I thought that was a little strange for you to go with the Bears over the Patriots for you. But hey.
Well, I was talking to Michelli today. He probably brainwashed me a little. Tell me about all his Bears are doing. My pads sit on their thumbs.
The Bears.
But, what's interesting is when we had this splinter of LIV Golf and the PGA Tour, one of the really important points about the PGA Tour is that it gives opportunity for players to become better and to showcase their talent. And Scottie Scheffler, until he won that first one in Phoenix – a couple of years ago, and then won on a tear and wins the Masters. And then now he's the number one guy in the world and looks unbeatable. Until that happened, we didn't know anything about Scottie Scheffler. And then it goes on and on and on. Sahith Theegala, Wyndham Clark, Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, all those guys have really worked themselves up through the system and become the stars of the game of professional golf right now.
Right. Look at Max Homa. He's the guy who couldn't make a cut and couldn't keep a card, and now he's a top 10 force out there. And it's only because he got in enough of these events and enough of an opportunity to play well, to get a couple wins, to move his way up. I don't want the Major League Baseball season is about to start, and the Pirates aren't going to win their division because they can't spend money. And the Yankees will somehow contend because they have all kinds of money. I don't want to see golf become two tours out there, the PGA Tour. Right now, if you're a young kid coming off the Corn Ferry and you have a card, by letter of the law, you should have the same tour card and opportunities as Rory McIlroy, right, to go out there and keep your card for this year. But you might have three starts under your belt, and they're not in these big, $25 million purse events that we're seeing like this week. So actually you probably are in this week, but you wouldn't have been in at Bay Hill last week, and next week, instead of playing for $20 million at Bay Hill, you're probably in the group hopefully playing for $8 million at the Valspar, So it just seems to be some inequity right now. I know the tour's in a tough spot. They're fighting these guys that have make believe money and, monopoly money with the LIV Tour. It's just make believe kind of stuff. And it's just hard to sit there and fight that toe-to-toe.
Jeff Babineau joining us here on Real Golf Radio. It's one of the things that really stood out to me in this conjecture between the two tours. You have some of these, and I don't know if they're actual real people or bots or what it is. You never know these days. But you see on X that, these guys saying, as a LIV fan, I'm perfectly happy because there's all kinds of discussions going back and forth on, tour fans and PGA Tour fans, LIV fans, whatever. And the LIV fan that inevitably pops up as, well, as a LIV fan, I'm completely happy with what we have going on. And I just have a hard time believing that. Like, whether you were for LIV or for the PGA Tour, which there seems to be a line in the sand there, regardless, I don't know that I would be content as a golf fan to take a snapshot of today's best players and then only see that small group of, what is it, about probably 15 of the 50 that they have in that group that are really the kind of something that you would tune in to watch. But I don't know if that's the only guys that I would want to see every time they played, and they're only going to play a couple times a month. So I don't buy that they're perfectly happy. Like, this is what they've wanted out of golf. If so, then to me, the way I grew up watching, the old guys and the way I grew up in the game apparently has completely changed and passed me by, and I have no reference for what it is, for what's fun about watching the game of golf. I mean, maybe I'm completely out of touch and that's exactly what people want to watch, but I'm not buying it.
Well, I mean, I think not to open up a whole can of worms on this tour and that tour, but I look at the PGA Tour guys, I look like a Jake Knapp that wins out here. Mm. It means a lot. You win out here, it means a lot. It's going to do a lot for you. You're going to get in the Masters. You're going to get into some different events. You're probably going to get into the Tour Championship. you can quantify what it means. When I see Joaquin Niemann, who I think is a great young player, I was bummed out when he went to the Live Tour, and I figured I wouldn't be seeing him as much. When I see him win over there, even back to back, I can never really define what it means. I have trouble really quantifying that. What does it mean, him winning? It's great. Yeah, he played great golf this week for three rounds. But what does it really mean? What does it mean to him? How excited is he? Sure, he's making a lot of money. I mean, it's nice putting money in the bank, but how competitively sharp is John Rahm right now? I mean, you don't think John Rahm would give his left arm to be playing this week at TPC Sawgrass? He would love to. And it's not questioning why those guys did what they did. I mean, they got life-changing money, and it'll change the life, the past of their families, right, forever. But just competitively, I don't really see what that tour does for you, how it gets you ready. I was shocked last year at Phil and Brooks Koepka and how they performed at the majors, because I wouldn't think they'd be as competitively sharp as you want them to be. But we'll see a year in what happens this year at Augusta.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. I agree with you. You know, and the other thing that was kind of interesting is to hear Scottie Scheffler's comments this week about, the fans are saying that, you know, the game's fractured and stuff like that. We need to come back together. And he said, you know what, we're still here on the PGA Tour. This is the tour that was there to begin with. And those guys are the guys that fractured the game. They decided to leave. They decided to take the money, which is fine if that's what they're going to do. But it's not the PGA Tour that's fractured the system. It's the LIV golfers and the guys that decided to move over.
Yeah, I mean, it was disruptive, right? I mean, it totally disrupted the ecosystem we're used to seeing out there. And, you know, part of it's probably good, right? It was good to have some sort of shakeup. I mean, we are seeing some incredible purses now. It's you know, when I see a guy finish ninth place and win $600,000, I'm thinking to myself, does he really need to win $600,000 for when it's finishing ninth this week? And this week, it would be even more. You know, this week's purse is jacked up $5 million more. So it's tough because, go through this week and you have a pretty decent field shaping up next week at Valspar with your Justin Thomases, and I think Shoffley's playing, Spieth is playing, things like that. But, you know, they're playing for about a third of what you're playing for this week. That's just hard to go week to week doing that. And they're playing for such sums, you wonder how it's going to be sustainable, really. I mean, if you're going to put it all on sponsors to come up with that, that's not a real good model. So, you know, it's right now, I just like to see them elevate events. That's great. I don't think you have to have purses as elevated as they are. But then you look across at what Liv is doing, and these guys are making all this money. So, you know, how do you combat it? So it's just, I think golf is in a tough spot. They're feeling the way through it. It's going really slow. And I think the average fan is frustrated watching.
Yeah, that's a tough thing that the commissioner tried to address this week. I don't know exactly what I took away from that, but at least it's definitely on their mind, and they're trying to figure out, you know, how they can come up with some sort of a resolution. I just hope, back to Rory's comments, I just hope that, you know, the PGA Tour has tried to jump into this cash race with what Liv has been doing, which you just mentioned. I don't think it's sustainable. That's why they brought on a partner to help them subsidize this. But I hope they don't try to also jump into this smaller field, less cut, you know, just showcase today's stars, because it's, you know, I think that's a dangerous road. But hey, by the way, Babs, before we run out of time, every week as we lead up to the Masters, I grab one of my Masters cups from out of the cupboard. This one is the 2019 Masters. How good was that one in recent days?
That wasn't bad, was it? That wasn't bad. Old Tiger stood up and watched everyone around him just look at him crumble on that Sunday, right?
Yeah.
That was amazing. But that was an amazing one to be at. They all are. I mean, when does that place not deliver, right? So, but yeah, that's a pretty good cup to have. I don't know if you still had any crow's nest beer left in there or not, but I might want to wash that one out.
Well, the first time I have beer in my cup will be the next time, I guess. but yeah, I don't know. There's something.
It's not bad.
But this a good Coke Zero tastes just so much better in a Master's cup. That's all I'll say.
That's all I'll say.
But hey, by the way, with all this going on, Scotty finding his putter, Rory seems to be working better with his iron this week, although he started to lose a few with his driver. You've got, you know, so many things that we can anticipate. Some of the live guys that we haven't seen a lot of that'll be playing at Augusta. Do you have any feel a few weeks out right now on who you'd pick going into the Masters?
I mean, I think Scheffler's going to be the guy, it looks like, right? I mean, he's a ball striking machine. He can compete and contend when he's not putting great. What does he do when he's, you know, in the top 50% of putting? I mean, he's going to be just lethal. So he's the guy I have the biggest eye on. And I see a lot of guys kind of searching. You know, I think Rory's searching with the irons. JT was like minus 3 strokes gained in putting today. Looks just awful, standing over 10 footers. I see a lot of guys, almost started with a triple today. I see a lot of guys kind of searching a little bit, you know. So you always want to have a couple good finishes, build a little momentum, and go there with your best stuff. So it's you know, we have less than a month, but it's interesting to see how it all shapes up.
Yeah. Well, it'll be fun. Can't wait to see you in a few weeks. Babs, as always, thanks for joining us and providing insight, and you do a great job.
Thanks, sir. Talk to you guys. You guys have a great weekend.
All right. You do as well. Jeff Babineau right there. You can catch him pgatour.com and among other things that he does. He's been around the game a long time, provides a great insight and perspective. Short break. We'll continue more discussion around the players this week right here on Real Golf Radio.